And we're in progress with the Development Advisory Committee, and Jim Donovan is here for that discussion.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Jim Donovan and Matthew Reckers for the Development Review Section of the current Development Division. And we do staff the Development Advisory Committee with Planning Commission Liaison, Mr. James. We're here to present, Chair Renee Clough had prepared comments, and she had an unavoidable conflict. So we'll work from her notes, and I guess I'll start with, there's basically two items she wanted you to know. After much deliberation and a considerable amount of time working on ministerial site review standards, and then examining minimum development standards in conjunction with that, they're both, if you recall, two forms of site plan. One's the full site plan and one is minimum development standards. Well, we were looking for that ministerial site plan review track that would allow someone to do it with basically a yes-no of ministerial track. And we got to the end of much hard work by the committee, and the committee, rather than an either-or, decided to move both into legal review and some structural flesh added to the bones, if you will, by staff. So we're going to prepare kind of the framework, and we're going to use the work of the committee and put those into two mechanisms that you start the code review process with some legal review, and with that writing, if you will, is what it is, to turn all of the research and the rough copy into something that approximates code language. So that is estimated to take at least 6 months. And while that is going on, she wanted you to know that the committee is moving on to its second vote getter, if you will. Back in the original priorities matrix, advocacy was the second highest vote. And it was advocacy and communication. And what that had to do with was some experiences by development community over, I don't know, a considerable amount of time. Time enough that it spanned different directors, different economic times. And it kind of started out that in the eyes and view of the development community, there was on occasion competing values or internal inconsistencies between, you know, a traffic need and a development need, or you know, sometimes Springfield Development Code, two different code sections, and some perceived delay or difficulty in resolving those issues. So we're going to look at advocacy, but in the interim, since this issue was brought up, we have had a reorg. And I think we've had this discussion, you might be familiar with this. We now, rather than having two directors, we have one director over our entire department. We're working much more closely together, both physically and professionally. So advocacy, I think, is going to be another process review. And we're going to look at the standard development review process and look where communication and advocacy in the form of communication can be improved. Just the other day at our last meeting, I had the development review process open again on the big board for review and analysis, and we identified all 10 steps in that process were opportunities for communication between staff and the developer, and staff with even our superiors as needed, or legal counsel, whatever it takes to keep that process moving. It's always the case that, you know, managed communication can always make it more efficient. So I think that's the direction that's going to go in, and I think Chairperson Clough thinks that we can do that in approximately the same amount of time that we're going to put the other site plan standards through review and then finishing. And then we'll be preparing to bring that back to you gentlemen for the first round of review prior to adoption. So in that process, staff will also be preparing our response and recommendation, because we staff the committee and we help the committee prepare these tools, and then at some point we have to step back and also add our objective viewpoint, which we do all the time. The committee has such a good working relationship now that over the amount of time we spent together, there isn't anything we kind of haven't really, you know, intellectually worked on together, some occasional arm wrestling, and you know, have always worked it out and always found, you know, the middle ground. So we'll be adding that part to the staff report as well. We'll defer to Mr. Rutgers if I've forgotten anything, or Commissioner James as well.
Well, several things. This has been a long process. You know, this has been a 2.5 year process, and this group has worked very hard to, number one, fully understand the current process, and then formulate some recommendations how to move the process forward. And I think it's a really good group. They've spent a lot of time working with staff, and staff have done an incredible job moving the process forward. So, you know, I think we were at a point now, and with the backing of the council, to really look at this ministerial process. You have been around all as planners long enough to know, as planning commissioners to know, you know, where you break the line is if you have a ministerial process, that means it's non-discretionary, right? These are the rules. As long as you abide by the rules, there's limited notification to neighbors and those types of things. So they've been, what we've really been trying to look at are how we can take the ministerial process to a higher level and allow more of a streamlined process for some of the larger developments that go on in the city. And so, you know, from the very beginning, having Joe Leahy and legal counsel talk to the group about what is discretionary and what's not discretionary, that's pretty clear. And then, you know, after we go through this process, there'll be a secondary legal review, and then ultimately the plan will go to what, DLCD, or and it'll be reviewed by them to make sure those standards are in alignment with the statutes and things. But I think there's just been a lot of progress from a standpoint of taking the viewpoint of the developer and looking at how the reality of situational reality of folks who really have a desire to do something but may have a limited time, or they may have a client or a customer that's interested and has to move within a certain amount of time to make an investment. And so, you know, we've talked through all of those processes, and I think staff have done an excellent job listening and giving good clear feedback, though, too. I think we have the public's interest, we have business interest, and we have the city being their jurisdictional interest, making sure that things are done in the appropriate way. So it's a complex issue, but I think the group has pulled together very, very well to come up with some recommendations that I think are going to streamline the process, and I think it'll be looked on favorably by, I'm hopeful, the City Council. Councilor Van Gordon has been on the DAC, served on the DAC with me the entire time, and so you know, I think we've given good 30,000 foot you direction at times based on our positions as well. So I think it's been a good process. I think the advocacy, we really have a commitment now from the city to really take those codes and realign some things to make sure that we have a ministerial process that will work on some of those larger developments. That's really the city's commitment now for the next 6 months. And so, you know, I think we'll get there. So. Anything else? Any questions?
I know I'm involved with the Commercial Investment Division Group, and they've at times talked about the City of Eugene and City of Springfield, and there's been times where they've said that the City of Springfield can be cumbersome to work with. I don't know if this is going to be a process world. Maybe when you get it all finished, maybe that would be a good group to go talk to, because I know that City of Eugene has gone in there and spoke and talked about how they're making some zone changes in West Eugene to basically make a lot more community commercial, different things. So it might be a good way to get that information out, a good group, and I'm pretty involved with it, so if you ever need more.
So. Thank you, Commissioner Nelson. And one more time, that group is?
CID.
CID.
Yeah, the president right now is Brent McLean. So.
Oh.
Nice guy.
Yeah.
You know Brent. Yeah.
And CID is?
Commercial Investment Division.
Well, you know, it's funny because we hear it both ways.
Yeah.
And we've done a fair amount of research on, well, you know, they do it this way over in Eugene. And so we have personally gone over and spoken to our counterparts over in Eugene. And I think we shared our one, we had the subdivision fee example, and we're structured differently. And people, if you don't realize that, you don't understand the differences and the efficiencies, you know, because there are assets and liabilities to both processes and procedures. So I think we'll always be prepared now to fill in those knowledge gaps too. And there's no harm in having things consistent, but sometimes because of political leadership, the community's identity, our fee structures, our revenue streams, the size of our city, how our organization is set up, there are going to be differences. And I don't know that we'll ever bridge that completely, but it really has been kind of a helpful learning process at a couple of junctures to go and get exactly how the City of Eugene does it and do that comparison. So I think this would be a great way to follow up, because we are prepared now to address those issues.
Anything else, anybody? I guess we have a 7 o'clock commitment, so unless there's any other questions, we'll adjourn the work session.